This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 149, Preparing for Pregnancy with Ayurveda. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm excited to be with you and talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and that is preparing for those special moments of childbirth. So when we're deciding that we want to get pregnant and conceive, there's so much preparation that needs to go into it. And from a Western standpoint, we often don't get a lot of advice other than eat healthy, take some prenatal vitamins, and go for it. But we know Ayurvedically that there is a lot involved, especially when we look at how tissues are formed within the body. And our Shukra Dhatu, which is the seventh tissue that is formed, is our reproductive tissue. And the health of that tissue has a huge bearing on what occurs when we conceive and how healthy our body is, how healthy that baby will be. So I wanted to focus today a little bit on that pregnancy part, the conceiving, the proper conditions that we create within our body in order to conceive. And if a gentleman is listening to this, you may think, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I can skip this episode. But you are an equal player in this experience of conception. And so it's important that you also prepare yourself and your body so that you have the most healthy contribution to this baby. So it applies to everyone. I wanted to share with you a quote from the Ashtanga Samgraha, so that's one of the classical Ayurvedic texts, and in this quote it says, "The woman is the chief cause for progeny. If she is protected, the progeny is protected. Among all the stages of life, that of the householder is the most important and sacred." We go through a lot of phases in life, and I know when I was getting ready to have children, I was young, I was 24 when I conceived our first baby. And it was a time that I knew for me was very sacred. And we had decided that that was going to be our prime focus during those years, was to have children and to grow and create a family. Very Pitta type thing to do at that time in life. And so that role of householder is what we call it in classical Ayurveda. And it's that time when you're having your family, right? You're growing the family and you're kind of creating those relationships. And we all want to have healthy kids. I mean, if you're planning to have a child, or if you're not planning to have a child and it's a surprise, we still want that child to be healthy. But there are some factors that can really affect the health of the growing fetus. And in classical Ayurvedic text, we look at six different factors that need to be at an optimal level so that your child is healthy. And there's a lot of influence that we can have over those. So I wanted to address those six. And then in our next episode, we're actually going to talk a little bit about pregnancy and how we can help to be healthy during pregnancy and post delivery as well. So the first thing that we want to look at is the health of the sperm. We call sperm Shukra, and it's made up of four elements, which is interesting. The only thing it's lacking is ether. So it's got your fire, your water, your earth, and your air. And it's fed by all six tastes. That means that as a gentleman, when you're eating food, all six tastes are going to be helpful in developing a healthy sperm, but it is most supported by sweet taste. The taste that is going to be the least helpful is sour. So we want to make sure that you're having a good balance of the six tastes with a little more emphasis on the sweet taste, a little less emphasis on sour. In order to produce this healthy sperm, you need to have all six tastes at all time. Now, if you're having a low sperm count or low motility, if it's something that you've been dealing with infertility, then you want to really refrain from having a lot of sour foods. So that would be things like pickles, sauerkraut, yogurt, tempeh, anything that's going to be really sour is going to be detrimental to development of that healthy sperm. Now, there's also things we want to do as far as evaluating what's the state of ama in the man, and how is that toxicity? Do we have a high buildup? Do we need to do a panchakarma or a cleanse to get prepared for a healthy conception? What is the level of ojas? So you want to look at the health of the overall man, and is it healthy? Are you having strength? Is there immunity there? And it's really recommended that you do some kind of a cleanse before you begin to attempt to conceive, and then follow that with rejuvenation. So doing a seasonal cleanse can be really helpful. Doing a true panchakarma, you could actually go to a center and work with a practitioner. But we sometimes overlook the importance of the health of the man in this situation, because we're looking at, well, the woman's the one carrying the baby, so all the focus is on her. And in ancient times, sometimes it was even the woman who was always blamed if we weren't conceiving, but we know Ayurvedically that it's an equal role between both, right? So some things that you can do as well is to really watch the ovulation cycles of the woman. And so time when you are having intercourse to help to increase your chances of conception. So if you abstain for 3 days before ovulation, that's going to optimize your sperm count. So if you have issues with low sperm count, that's important there. And then in the try two to three times in a 24-hour window once you are ovulating. So I'm sure gentlemen will be excited about that, and women too, that you can have a few attempts during that time. And then we want to just wait to allow the sperm count to rebuild, because it does take some time. If you're having regular intercourse, that depletes OGIS, especially in a man. And so we want to make sure we're balancing how often this is occurring. So those are specific things that we can do to help create healthy sperm. And that's the first part of creating a healthy baby. Okay, the next one is creating a healthy ovum. The ovum is the egg, and the health of the ovum can really be demonstrated by the health of your menstrual blood. So if you're wanting to know, well, how healthy are my eggs? How likely am I going to be to conceive with that egg? You want to look at what's happening with menstrual flow. So if you have a really thick flow, we know there's excess kapha going on in there. If we have a lot of clots or it's clumpy, then we know that vata and kapha are involved. Or if it's mostly scanty and clotting and a little bit lighter in color, we know it's leaning more towards vata. So you can have a combination of doshas that are affecting that menstrual flow, of course. If there's a strong odor, if you're noticing anything that is mucousy or pus-like, that can be pitta and kapha together. But if it's pretty mild, you don't have a lot of flow, it's pretty scanty, that's usually a vata and pitta combination. And you know this as well because it's shorter in duration. If kapha is involved, you have a longer and heavier flow. If there's more vata and pitta, it's going to be a little bit shorter flow. So we first want to identify just what's going on with your menstrual flow. So start paying attention for a couple cycles and see what the trend is, what your body tends to do and create. When you're creating this healthy egg, it's important that you also focus on the sweet taste, just like the gentleman. So what's nice about that is if you're in a relationship or you're married, you can use that time to work on your diet together. You can do a cleanse together and get ready to move into conception, which is kind of awesome to plan that out. We also want to look at the health of the dhatus, or the tissues of your body. So what you're eating is vital, and because it takes, according to ancient text, about 35 days to create the lower level of tissues, your reproductive tissue, the shukra, we want to give at least 35 days, if not more, to be really focusing on creating healthy tissue before we attempt to conceive, because that way we know that the health of that deeper reproductive tissue is high. Looking at Agni and your OGIS is also important. So Agni is that digestive fire, working on balancing your digestion, getting everything moving smoothly through your bowels is good, and that you have a good health, a good immunity. If somebody tends towards weakness and they're a little bit sicker, or they don't have a lot of strength, they get sick all the time, we know that OGIS is not there. And if they're fatigued, they have a lack of inspiration, we know OGIS is also low. And so that's important that we work on those. There's a lot that we can do through cleansing the body, through adjusting lifestyle, by focusing on Ayurvedic principles, just to bring yourself in as much harmony as possible before you move into conception. And there's just a lot of really small details that we can focus on. So that's how we work on creating healthy egg. So we've got our healthy sperm, we have our healthy egg. Now we want to look at the timing. What is the proper timing for conception? Now, there's typically a proper time of the month. It's going to be a little different for every person based upon ovulation and such. We shared some ideas about that already, but also the proper time of life. the more that we age, we have less viable follicles, and that's necessary to have good, healthy follicles for us to be able to conceive. So we want to make sure that we're focusing on this in those younger, more fertile years. And because so many people are putting off having children until they're older now, they want to have a career, get a little more established. We're seeing more and more problems with fertility simply because the follicles are aging and the body maybe isn't in that same prime condition that it was in those younger years. You can also look at astrological indicators. So studying a little bit of Jyotish or astrological signs from an Ayurvedic perspective can be helpful for you to understand when the best time is for you to conceive. And in the different ancient texts, different authors give different perspectives on when during the month is important. So Sushruta is the one that I tend to fall in line with, and he recommends 12 days after the end of your menses would be the perfect time to begin to attempt to conceive. So we just want to kind of look at the flow. So you can think of proper timing as knowing your ovulation, knowing when the right time in the cycle is for you, and then having your attempts at conception happening in that window, so that you're making the most of that sperm count for sure. Okay, for our next category, we know now that we've got our healthy sperm, our healthy egg, we're doing it in proper timing, and we have a healthy uterus. This actually can be really problematic. I've got a beautiful family member who has a tipped uterus, and that has caused a lot of problems with conception and consequently a lot of miscarriages, which is such a heartbreaking thing. And so when we're looking at proper positioning, we want to see and have checked if it's tipped. If your uterus is tipped, you can do inverted asanas that can really help to bring the uterus back into alignment. So things like down dog or shoulder stand, just positions where the uterus is up and your hips are lifted can be helpful there. The health of the tissue of the uterus. So that tissue is the Rasa Dhatu. So if you recall, when we talk about tissues, Rasa Dhatu is all of the liquids of the body, right? It's the plasma. It's the health of the fluids within the body. You can tell based on your skin and the moisture in your skin how healthy that Rasa Dhatu is. So it's keeping proper hydration, making sure that you're using oilation, so you're getting oil on the body. And overall, just creating a nice moist environment, right? You have a lot of health in the Rasa, and this will help sustain your pregnancy. The reason for that is that you have to create a lot of amniotic fluid when you're pregnant. And so if we have healthy Rasa, that means we have healthy fluids in the body, and we're creating a lot of that healthy fluid to be able to sustain that pregnancy and sustain that baby. This next category of health is the diet, focusing on a wholesome diet. And this is really important prior to and especially during pregnancy as well. And oftentimes we see women use pregnancy as an excuse to eat things that maybe aren't as healthy because they're already gaining weight. And if you're only looking at your diet as a way to maintain your weight, then you may fall into the trap of eating less healthy when you're pregnant because you feel like you don't have to worry about gaining weight because that's natural during pregnancy. But we don't want to gain excessive weight. We also need to realize that everything we're eating is feeding the health of that baby. And so it's very important that we're really focusing on the nutrition of what's coming in. So when we decide what we're going to be eating, we want it to be appropriate for our dosha. So constitutionally correct. If you are eating to the season, that's going to be perfect. And then you're just adjusting what you're eating based upon your individual dosha. So that's a good place to look first. If you're unclear about what you should be eating, I've got lots of podcast episodes about eating for your dosha, but just know that the more healthy and clean and wholesome and sattvic the food is, that means the closer it is to natural state, not processed, doesn't have anything added to it, and it's pure, the better it's going to be for your baby. And we also want to make sure it's abundant. So this is not a time to be dieting or to eating in small quantities or watching your weight. This is a time to watch your nutrition. Just making sure that you're eating to your hunger levels, which as you move into your pregnancy, if you're struggling with morning sickness and those kinds of things, that can be hard. But when we're leading up to conception, it's very much a focus, right? We're making sure we're getting all the nutrients in, that we have a high minerals in our foods, that we're eating whole foods, that we're eating foods that are balanced for our dosha, that we're digesting it properly. And there's some very specific different minerals and vitamins we want to make sure we're getting in. Things like iron is really important. Cooking in a cast iron pot can help with that. Making sure we're getting enough vitamin C to then absorb the iron. And we can be doing that through whole foods, but also if you need to supplement. calcium is important and folic acid is really good. You get a lot of folic acid in whole grains and legumes, which is why kitchery is an awesome choice because you're getting a lot of those whole grains in there, which have that folic acid in there. So the last area that the classical texts focus on for healthy conception is karma. So in the Sushruta, it says that the karma of a child is specifically responsible for the dominant guna of the child's consciousness, and that this karma is the starting place of a child's knowledge and wisdom. So let's kind of break that down a little bit. So when we talk about the guna, we're talking about sattva, rajas, or tamas. So those are the three different qualities or states or gunas that you might see in the mind. Sattvic is that more high, elevated, living from a higher consciousness. Rajasic has more motion, more movement, a little more antagonistic. And then tamasic is that heavy, dark, inert energy. So the karma of the child is responsible for what guna is created within the child. And it's really where that ability to grow and wisdom and have knowledge begins. And it's karma is the ultimate responsibility for developing the baby and its organs. So we can look at it from the point of view that it's past life karma that's carried on to the child and that comes with the child when it's conceived. And karma is kind of a big conversation. I get a little bit lost in it sometimes, to be perfectly honest, because it feels like it takes away my ability to choose because I'm having things from the past being brought into the present. But it's also a way for us to help understand things like birth defects or environmental forces that are coming in versus something that's karmically being caused. And so as we look at karma, we can understand it as a person who was born with a sattvic mind has that as a karmic state. It's something they brought with them. Same thing with a rajasic or a tamasic state. And so it's something that we can't necessarily influence when we're conceiving, but it is something that the more sattvic that we are at that time of conception, so as a partner, a man and a woman, and the more calm and sattvic we are in the way that we're living our life, that can have a greater influence on the baby as well. So it's what they're bringing with them karmically, but it's also what are we contributing to them. Because we understand that your constitution or your prakriti is set at the time of conception. So what's happening within the mother and the father at the time of conception is going to influence that doshic state of the child. And so it's important as you are preparing to conceive that you're creating the environment that's going to be the most beneficial for your baby. And that can be difficult because we don't always plan pregnancies. Sometimes they are unexpected or a surprise. And we had a couple like that we knew we wanted to have another child, but it didn't happen in the timing that we thought it would happen in. And so you have to work towards that sattvic state. This way, when you're in those childbearing years, if there's a potential for you to conceive, keeping yourself in a balanced state is very important. So again, a quick review of the six different categories of creating a healthy child preconception. We want to focus on creating healthy sperm. So that is the male partner's responsibility, right? To really work on creating the conditions for healthy sperm. We want to create healthy ovum or egg. So that's the female working on that. And then our timing. Our timing needs to be structured around the cycles of the woman. Even the time of life is important. We want to look towards a healthy uterus. What can we do to sustain rasa, to help rasa dhatu be very strong within the woman? Looking at the positioning of the uterus can be helpful. And then focusing on diet, keeping it matching your constitution, looking at sattvic foods, keeping things abundant so you're not depleted, making sure you're getting all of your nutrients in. And then finally, karma, which we have the least amount of control over, but we definitely know that that plays into the health of the child, especially when you look at their guna. And I believe that because I look at my four children and they are all very different in the guna qualities and the way that the gunas are kind of manifest in them. And I know that I was in different places at my life with each baby. Like every conception, I was in a different place. And this definitely contributed to the different gunas that I see demonstrated in my children, even though I know that they came with their own karmic tendencies. So I think that's a beautiful thing when we ask the question of, is it nature or nurture? It's a little bit of both. right? The way that our children come, they're coming that way because of the nature or the karma that they brought with them. They're also coming that way because of the nurture, which I believe ties into the state of the mother and the father at the time of conception. So as you're preparing for pregnancy, there's so many things that you can do proactively. And I know that infertility is a huge problem for a lot of women and men. And the more that we can create the proper field or the proper situation for that baby to be conceived in, that's where we have our control and our ability to really change that situation. So we don't have to feel victimized by infertility. We can really work towards it in that way. And I know that karmically for some, it might not ever happen in this life. And that is something that we also then work through on an emotional level. But the more that we can create the right conditions, when we do conceive, we'll have just healthy, healthy babies. And that's really the goal when we're having children and growing our families. So I hope that this information was helpful. On the next episode, we'll talk a little bit more about pregnancy and proper steps that you can take, specific actions post-delivery to help your body to heal as well as to help your baby to have a really good start. So have a beautiful, beautiful week, and we will talk to you soon. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.